This is Eddie Hyatt, and this is the Awakening Podcast. I'm so glad you've joined me again today as we continue our theme on power to discern. Wow, what an important topic for the church and the world today. A time when there is so much deception going on in the world, and which was actually predicted by Jesus and Paul and the writers of the New Testament. John, for example, who's called the beloved disciple, John, in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." There is an exhortation that we must test the spirits. Reminds me of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I believe it's around verse 29. But Paul says to the church in Corinth, he says, "Let the prophets speak." And that was, he was using functional language, as I talked about in an earlier episode, referring to anyone who was moved by the Spirit, anyone who had a prophecy to speak or something to say from the Spirit. Let them speak. But let the others judge or discern and weigh what is being said. All my friends, we must not be gullible and naive in these days in which we live. And so today I want to start talking about how we test the spirits. John said, test the spirits, whether they be of God. Well, how do we do that? What are the criteria for testing the spirits? Now, again, as we talked about, there is a gift of discerning of spirits that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, and it's listed alongside of eight other gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are gifts not in the sense that we possess them and carry them around with us and operate them at our discretion. No, as you study these closely, they are manifestations that come forth as the Spirit chooses, comes forth on special occasions at particular times at the Spirit's choosing. It's not something that we can manifest on our own. And God brings it forth for his own special time and purpose. But now what John is talking about here is something that we are commanded to do, that we must take initiative and we must test the spirits. So I'm going to be sharing about five criteria for testing the spirits. Five tests. We'll talk about the Jesus test. We'll talk about the heart test. We'll talk about the word or the Bible test, the freedom test, the character test. These are tests that we can use to fulfill this command that God gave us through John the Apostle to test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I feel like just taking a moment and praying and asking God to open our hearts and minds. This is such an important topic that God will illumine our thoughts, illumine our minds, and give us understanding today into his word and understanding in how we are to test the spirits. So Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are listening to me today. And Lord, we just ask you to open our minds, open our hearts, and that we will hear what the Spirit would say to us today and would teach us through your word and through this podcast. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm going to start with the Jesus test because in a sense, it is the most important test. And you know, there's a passage, I have my New Testament right here. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11:13, where Paul is warning about false apostles. And he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers." Wow, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Transforming themselves, because they have transformed themselves, then they are very self-centered. They are working really hard at convincing you that they are who they claim to be. They talk much about themselves and about their gifts and about their qualifications and about their calling. The Jesus test, when a person is truly given up their life, died to self, died to ego, and given themselves completely to Christ, then they only want to talk about Jesus. This is how it was in the New Testament. And so this is the Jesus test. Now, in his introductory segment to spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3, now actually I am utilizing and referring here in what I'm reading to a book that I wrote called Prophets and Prophecy. Prophets and Prophecy. And it is a powerful book, and there is a lot in there about discernment and how to recognize false prophecies and false apostles. I know it'll be a great blessing to you. It's available on our website, eddiehyatt.com. It's also available on Amazon. And just enter my name, Eddie Hyatt, and you should be able to scroll down and find it. If not, enter Prophets and Prophecy by Eddie Hyatt. But in this book, I quote a well-known New Testament scholar who is also a godly, spirit-filled man. His name is Gordon Fee. And he points out that Paul, in his introductory segment to spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 1-3, that Paul makes it clear that gifts of the Spirit, including prophecy, that they must occur in a context where Jesus Christ is recognized and confessed as Lord. Yeah, if we read what Paul says when he introduces and when he discusses these spiritual gifts, it is obvious that these are to take place within a context of where Jesus is acknowledged as Lord. And I'm turning over to that passage right now. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away from these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the word Lord there, it's the Greek word kurios. And one thing that is very interesting is that the Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint, which was used primarily by New Testament writers and quoted from the Septuagint, the Greek word kurios is the word that is used to translate the Old Testament name of God, Yahweh, or in the King James is called Jehovah or Yahweh. That is the personal name of God. It is the most common name for God in the Old Testament. And when the translators, 70 Jewish scholars around 275 BC, who were proficient in both Hebrew and Greek, when they translated the Old Testament name for God, they used this word kurios. This Greek word kurios that is translated Lord in our New Testament. And Paul says here, as he begins to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, he says, no one speaking by the Spirit of God will say Jesus accursed, or that nobody will in any way demean Jesus who has the Spirit of God. And no one can say Jesus is kurios, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God. Wow, Jesus is divine, except by the Holy Spirit. And so Gordon Fee says the ultimate criterion of the Spirit's activity is the exaltation of Jesus as Lord. Wow. Whatever takes away from that, even if they be legitimate expressions of the Spirit, begins to move away from Christ to a more pagan fascination with spiritual activity as an end in itself. Yeah, spiritual manifestations can never become an end in themselves. They must always be kept within a context of the Lordship of Jesus, where He is lifted up and exalted and honored. Jesus Christ, as a central figure in all of God's workings, is expressed by Paul in Ephesians 1:10, where he wrote that and this is quoting Paul, verse 10, Ephesians 1, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now, the phrase gather together in this passage is translated from the Greek word. It's a long Greek word, anakephalesousas, something like that. That's pretty close. I did take Greek. I don't claim to be an astute Greek scholar, but I did take Greek, and I like Greek. I like studying my Greek interlinear. And this word, it means to sum up, and it was used in mathematics to refer to the sum total of a list of numbers. It was also used in public speaking to refer to the main point or the bottom line of a speech. In other words, Paul is saying the main point and the bottom line of all God's activities in heaven and in earth are bound up and found in Jesus Christ. That's why he's called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Everything starts and begins with him. Wow. This centrality of Christ was summed up well by C.S. Lewis, who wrote, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men to Christ, not to draw people to a denomination, to a preacher, to an earthly organization of any kind, but to draw people to Christ." He goes on to say, to make them little Christ, little C. All he's talking about is he's acknowledging that we are to be conformed more and more into the likeness of our Lord. He goes on to say, if the church is not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, mission sermons, even the Bible itself, are simply a waste of time. When we read the book of Acts, boy, they function in this, where Jesus was all in all. And when there was a miracle, the miracle does not become the focus. Read the book of Acts. The miracles do not become the focus. They did not promote miracles as an end in themselves. Instead, every miracle that occurred was taken as a means or opportunity to point people to Jesus. Yes, Jesus truly is the bottom line and main point, and must be in all of our preaching and witnessing and church activity. You see, the Holy Spirit has not come to glorify angels, preachers, churches, or denominations. The Holy Spirit is here to point humanity to Jesus. In Revelation 19:10, when a messenger is taking John on a tour of the holy city, John is overwhelmed by all he is seeing, and he falls down to worship the messenger. The messenger immediately stops him and says, "Don't worship me, worship God." And then he says to John, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus." Jesus, true prophecy, Jesus is at the center of true prophecy. So, how do we apply this? When faced with questionable situations or manifestations or ministries, apply the vision test, apply the Jesus test. Ask yourself about the person. Do they have a vision to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is their vision and their speaking and their activities more about themselves? If their message is tinged with human pride and ego, then there is reason to separate this person and their message from your life, or at least proceed with caution. Remember the words of Jesus in John 16:14, when he said that when the Spirit of truth has come, he will glorify me. My friends, that's the Jesus test. Apply the Jesus test everywhere you go. That will help you, and that will save you from being led astray by self-centered and ego-centered individuals who are interest only in promoting themselves. God bless you. I'm Eddie Hyatt. I hope you'll check out my website, eddiehyatt.com, and check out the book, Prophets and Prophecy. It'll be a great blessing to you, and I will look forward to seeing you tomorrow, where we will continue with another episode of the Awakening Podcast.